So I want to do a little short series that's going to really resonate with certain entrepreneurs, and it's not going to resonate at all with certain people who are not there yet. And the people that this is going to resonate with, I believe, are the people who are, you know, a year, two, three, four plus years into your business. It's people who are past that honeymoon phase where, you know, that first year for sure is really, really exciting in your business. It's easy to be excited about it because it's new and you're tackling new challenges. And the entire first year and possibly even 2 years is all about growth. You know, it's all about growth. It's about how you are growing your knowledge set to get those deals done or to close those listings. It's all about growth and learning marketing and learning about yourself and learning a little bit better leadership skills and things like that. But then after that year, maybe 2 years, oftentimes that honeymoon phase wears off if we don't challenge ourselves and break out of certain patterns and require ourselves to grow. And I kind of hit that phase probably 2.5 years ago, and then I changed my pattern, and then I hit it probably again 6 months ago, and I've been changing my pattern this last 6 months ago to kind of rattle myself out of those things. And I want to kind of walk you through, if you are in your business a couple of years, you know, year, two, three, 4 years in it, if you feel like you're hitting like a ceiling, and it could be a ceiling in income ceiling. It could be a ceiling in happiness. It could be a ceiling in fulfillment. It could be a ceiling in some way where you feel like you're hitting a ceiling. And it's not that you're not doing well. You're probably actually doing well. You're probably doing better financially than you thought you would have been doing 4 or 5 years ago. You're probably consistently cashing checks that if you would have known that you were having that income, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you would have been like, man, once I hit that phase, I'm going to be insanely happy and fulfilled. You're probably in the phase right now where you've been shooting for and setting goals for, and you're living it. Okay, this podcast is for you. Okay, so when I started Carrot 5 years ago now, we never dreamt to make it one of the fastest growing companies in America. Okay, we're the fastest growing company in Oregon, top 700 fastest growing companies in America, according to Inc. magazine. And we never set out to do that. We just didn't. Okay. But along the way, we've hit certain plateaus, and we've found ways to blast through those plateaus. And every level in your business, there's a different thing you need to do to blast through your plateaus. And one of the things that early on that you've got to do to blast through your plateaus is you got to hustle. You got to grind. Like, I don't like the word grind, but you've got to do that. You've got to go out there and do a bunch of manual things that don't scale. I think a lot of people are afraid to do those manual things. Like, they want to be able to push a button and have 8,000 direct mail pieces go out and have that happen every month. But what if you don't have the budget to do that? Or what if you don't have your marketing message down enough to scale out your direct mailer? What if you don't have the budget down or the confidence down to scale up a pay-per-click campaign yet? So what do you do? Well, you should probably do it. Brian Rockwell did, and other people did. You hustle and you go out there and you just like drive by neighborhoods and you look at vacant houses and you write handwritten letters every single night. And then by the time the month is up, you've written 500 of them, you close your first deal. Okay. Like, that's that phase, how you get through that plateau is you got to hustle, you got to grind, you got to do things that don't scale until you find the things that are working, and then take that income and scale that out, because now you've got a budget, you've got time, you got money to then scale those things out. And then next, what happens is you've got so many things on your plate that you then need to outsource some things. Okay. So you create a couple processes and you outsource some of those important things that are probably more just honestly outsourcing tasks. You're more like delegating tasks at that point. Okay. So to get to that next level, blast to that next plateau, you've got to delegate tasks. Okay. And that's easy. But the thing is, all those tasks end up coming back to you. You've got to end up policing those tasks. So you're kind of the hub of the wheel now, where all these tasks and all these outsourcers are spokes, and awesome, you are saving yourself time. You're getting some things done. You're scaling your time. You're leveraging your time for lower level, lower dollar things. You're having someone else do them. But the problem is they're still all coming back to you. So the more tasks you delegate, the busier you get. And all of a sudden you're crazy busy now, and it's hard for you to gauge your priority. It's hard for you to go, okay, man, like, what should I be doing right now? You know, what should I be doing? Am I doing the right things? Okay. And then you go, okay, well, I can't be delegating tasks anymore. Now I need to like hire a person. Okay. And then I need to hire a person, and I need to delegate responsibility to some people, a person or some people. Okay. Then at that phase, you're not just delegating tasks. Now you're hiring people to go, okay, you're now in charge of this, and let me create a couple processes. We'll create these processes together, but now you're in charge of this. And then what happens, you're going, okay, cool, now I've got some people that are working for me that are in charge of certain things. Hooray, I'm not in charge of these things anymore. I can have some more freedom and flexibility. But then what happens is you get a month, 2, 3, 4, 5 months in, and you're wondering if that person's being effective in their work. And you're going, okay, shoot, I hired this person, I'm paying all this money out, and I know they're doing work, and I know they're producing stuff, but are they being as effective as they should be? Are they the right person? You know, are they really up-leveling our business? Are they doing what I thought in my head would happen when I hired an employee? And then what you have to do is you have to put metrics in. You have to go, okay, I think they're the right person. I hired by culture. Okay, I created a couple systems. They're doing the work. But the problem is I wasn't managing leading that person from a high level. So you create KPIs. And those KPIs are the things that you look at every day, and for sure every week, and you meet with them, and you set goals around those KPIs. And now you can pull back as a leader and go, awesome, I finally reached this point to where I'm a leader now, and we've got a team, and these people are going out there and doing things. I've got numbers I look at, and those gauge whether they're doing their things. And all these KPIs from those that 1, 2, 3, 4 people combined gauge whether this company's heading in the right direction. And then you hit another problem, you hit another plateau, where you have all these people out there, and then they aren't all working towards the same thing. They're not all working towards the same thing. And you might even have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people at this point. And you're going, okay, it feels like I'm more busy than I ever was. It feels like I'm not able to get my work done. It feels like I'm kind of getting in a bunch of busy work and not doing things I'm excited about anymore. Okay, I've got a team of people. We got cool KPIs. I'm profitable. That's all awesome. But I'm not loving what I'm doing. I don't feel like this is what I was meant to be doing. I don't feel like I've got passion and purpose for the work I'm doing today. Okay, then at that point, what we have to do is now we have to cast a vision. Okay, before we didn't have to cast a lot of vision. If you were casting vision, amazing, you're ahead of the game. But before, all you had to do was outline a process, give people KPIs, and have them do their work and pay them well. Okay, that's all you had to do. But then once you get to 8, 9 people, you've got to then like cast vision, and people have to be crazy clear where you're going and how they can make decisions. You've got to not just delegate tasks, but you've got to delegate decision making now. Okay. And once you've delegated decision making, and then you're going to go, well, shoot, there's certain decisions I'm still making, but I can't because I'm bottlenecking people. You've got to write processes around those decisions. You've got to write processes around how you decide. Like decision matrices around, these are the 7 things I look at when I'm making this type of decision. I want you to make these decisions now. And if you have questions on this, come to me, but this decision's in your lap now. Okay, so you've got the vision. You're laying out and delegating decision-making now to them. Now you hit this next phase that we're in. Okay, and the reason I want to walk you through all those different phases is this one thing. I don't know if you noticed this pattern, y'all. I don't know if you noticed this pattern, but the one thing that unlocks every single one of those phases... The one thing that unlocks every single one of those phases is process. It's process. The very first phase that unlocks you and adds leverage to your time is process, so you can delegate tasks. And then the next thing is process. Okay, so you can hire people and not just delegate tasks, but hire people. And then the next thing is process, so people know what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Then the next thing is process, so that people know what it is that where the company is going, the mission, the vision. Okay. Then it's process to delegate decision making, because you can't make all the decisions anymore and still do your work well, and have amazing people that want to work for you if they can't make decisions. It's all process, and I'm going through that right now with Carrot, where we're in a phase now where we did all that. We delegated tasks, and then we delegated. Then we hired people to do tasks, and then you know, we delegated decision making and all those kinds of things, and we still need to do that more. But now we're at a phase where we need to add a level of management, level of leadership. So I hired a leader on our customer success team about 8 months ago. He's doing amazing work. I'm looking for a leader on our marketing team right now. We elevated a couple people in our company to be leaders in their division now, where before they were just working and reporting back to someone else. Okay, so we're hiring leaders and we're elevating leaders right now. And when I was sick a couple of weeks ago, I was sick, had a fever, and then I also had poison oak, and I also had a tooth that flared up. I've only had one cavity in my life ever, y'all, and this tooth flared up the same 2 days I had a 102-degree fever and poison oak, and it was throbbing and killing me, so I'd have a root canal that week, and that week was an amazing week, actually. I know it sounds funny, but it was an amazing week because this is what happened to me. On Tuesday, I didn't show up to any meetings. I didn't go into the office because I was sick and I didn't feel good. And I'm like, I still want to work because I really love what I'm doing. And I feel like I'm behind on things all the time. But I dug into some training from a coach of mine, Dan Martell. He's a coach that I pay a bunch of money for. And he's an amazing coach on the software side of things. And one of his trainings that I went through that I just hadn't given myself time to go through before was really all about how to gain your time back, how to gain freedom as an entrepreneur. And coming full circle, you know, I started this company for freedom, for flexibility, for impact, and hopefully I can grow my finances. I've reached all those. But every time you hit a ceiling, some of your freedom and flexibility and impact starts to go down, and your finances hit a ceiling. Okay, so every single time you hit a ceiling, those four things suffer. Your freedom, your flexibility, your finances, and your impact all suffer when you hit a ceiling. And when I hit that ceiling this last 4, 5, 6 months, and our income stagnated, well, our customers grew, but our income stagnated, and there's some core reasons why that happened, and we knew it was going to happen, but we didn't get ahead of the game because of these things, because we hit the ceiling productivity-wise, we hit the ceiling team-wise, and it all boiled down to this, everybody. It all boiled down to this. Even as we were hiring more and more people, we couldn't crack through the ceiling because I wasn't able to get past that next phase of delegation. Okay? Which is delegating leadership. How do these leaders actually go out there now and run their teams and not have to report back to me, or not have to, they report back to me, but not have to come to me for all these decisions? What are those things in their way? So we had to create process around budgets. So our team members have budgets now, and they can actually go out there and cast their vision for their team. And now they have a budget to go do that. So now all that's off of my lap and off of my brain, and I can just focus on the KPIs to make sure that we're on the right direction. I can then coach them to success. So that's a process I've created. And what Dan walked through to help really give freedom and flexibility is things that I've known for years, things I've been doing for years, everybody. But for some reason, I forgot. And I think this is very, very common with entrepreneurs. As we go through a massive phase in that first, you know, through those first several ceilings where we're all about process and system. Then all of a sudden, as we get employees, we assume that our employees are the ones that are going to create process and system for us now. And we just assume the process and system is a part of the culture. It's a part of all this stuff. And I forget to do process and systems anymore. So I'm going into a massive process and system mode. So much so I've taken a person on our team, moving them to operations so they can be someone who can really focus on this even more. Taking another person on our team who's really good at outlaying process and system, and we're going to be working with them in a big way to unleash process and system in the rest of the company. And we don't have to hire, other than the VP of marketing we're looking for, we don't have to hire a lot more anytime soon, because what we need to do is we need to have everyone work more effectively, and it's about process and system. Now, how do we unleash Joaquin, one of our new team members, to go out there and coach care of customers better? It's me pulling away for 2 hours and writing the damn process and getting out of my brain. And then it's in their lap to innovate on. Okay. And that's one of the main mindset shifts I've had lately. Is while I was assuming and thinking that people were creating process, not that they weren't, there are certain things that were just honestly, you know, I'm more uniquely suited to create the best version of that process with them. And then you give them the process, but then you give them the expectation and empowerment that they are in charge of innovating in that process. And if they don't change and innovate in that process on a monthly basis, then they did something wrong. And there's an expectation that all of these processes better be updated at least on a monthly basis. If it's not updated on a monthly basis, it probably means they're not using them. And you can't innovate on something, on a process you're not using. Because what happens is, if you created a process for someone and they went through it once or twice and they feel like they've got it now and they don't have to do the process, oftentimes they're going to skip step three. They're going to skip step seven this time. They're going to skip step two this time. And does it materially change the outcome? Probably not if they skip one of those. It might like, you know, prolong the outcome a little bit here or make the outcome a little bit less there, but it doesn't really materially change the outcome. But what it does materially change is their ability to innovate in that process. And no longer are they able to really improve the process and gain more leverage in their time. No longer are they able to gain more leverage in your investment in them if they're not using the process and then finding the weaknesses in it and updating it and innovating on it. So that's how we're getting through the next phase, is we're revamping our training center. It's gotten a little bit tired and cold. I encourage you to do the same thing. If you've been in business for 2 or 3 years, look at your training center. Are people using it? Ask them this question. You know, is there, if they do something, there's a mistake, or if they do something and it's new, say, hey, is there a process for that? And then your very next question should be, they say, yeah, there's a process for it. Say, what percentage of time are you using it? Their answer should be 100%. It shouldn't be 80%. It shouldn't be 20%. It should be 100% of the time. Okay, and they should always have that process up next to them when they're doing the thing. The reason for that, it's not for oversight, it's not for Big Brother, it's not for any of that stuff. It's for the simple reason of so they can innovate on that process, so they can innovate on it. They can make it better. They can contribute not just their KPIs, but they can contribute to making their role better, more streamlined, and more impactful for your business. So as I'm going away, I'm going to get on this airplane today. That's all I'm thinking about is I've got about 4 or 5 hours where I can create a bunch of processes that are going to unleash me and make a massive, massive ROI. And this is one thing I want you to think about is this, is oftentimes it's really, really easy for us to think about compounding interest and how that impacts our wealth. And here's a good example. You know, let's say you make that decision to buy coffee today, right? And that coffee decision, it's a $5 decision if you're at Starbucks or whatever it is. And there's different levels of wealth. And I heard this from Darren Hardy from Success Magazine one time, and I really, really resonated with it. And there's different levels of wealth. The first level of wealth is basically you're going there to buy coffee, and you're making the decision on, okay, do I even have $5 to buy this coffee? Okay, so that's the first level of wealth. Do I even have this $5 to make this purchase? The next level of wealth is, do I want to make this purchase? Okay, I've got the money. Do I want to pay this $5? I've got the $5. Like, it's no longer a question, do I have $5? It's, I've got the $5, but do I want to make this purchase? Is that important for me today? The bigger level of wealth is you start to compare that $5 against what that $5 could turn into over 20 years. Okay, and if you look at compounding interest, and it's like let's say it's a 10% return over 20 years, and don't quote me on this math, okay? But let's just pretend this is real math here. But that $5 would turn into about $50 over those 20 years on compounding interest. Okay, so that next level of wealth is making that decision. Is this $5 today? Is this coffee today worth $50 for me in 20 years? Like, in 20 years, would I be glad that I spent that $5 because it cost me $50 to my $20 to my 20 year future person? So that's that next level of wealth, as we start to think about things in ROI. And I want you to think about process that way. I want you to think about process the same way, because it's so easy for us to look at our time in that way. Okay, first of all, do I have this 5 minutes or this 10 minutes to create this process? Okay, next it's going, okay, I've got to the next level of leadership where I have people and I've got some things in place. You know, now it's about me gauging my time, and am I using my time well and wisely and actually working high priority stuff? And then it's like, okay, do I want to take this time to make this process? And that's the phase that I got into. I had the time to do it 6 months ago, 8 months ago. I was even sometimes twiddling my thumbs, wondering, like, going into a day, what should I be doing? Because I've got all these employees, like, what do I need to do today now? Okay, so I was consciously making those decisions. Well, I don't want to do that process today. I'm just going to do this other thing instead. Okay, now what I've shifted my mindset towards is this question right here is this 5 minutes or 30 minutes for me? Is this worth saving me 5 hours to my future self next month, to my future self next year? I don't even have to cast out 20 years, everybody. I don't even have to cast out next year. I can cast out next month. I can cast out next week. I can cast out next year. That's where the impact comes from. So that's where I'm shifting my mindset now. Is this 5 minutes to actually buckle down and do this process instead of dicking around with something else? Is this 5 minutes worth saving me 5 hours next week? Is this 5 minutes? Is this 30 minutes? Is this hour worth saving me 40 hours this year? Okay. And to get through this next plateau, the answer has to be yes. Because every single time I save myself that 10, 20, 30 hours this year, it's going to amplify and save my team members hundreds of hours and amplify and put them ahead of the game, so far ahead of where they could have been before, that they're going to gain way bigger leverage in their role. So are you looking at your time the same way? Are you looking at your time in ROI? Are you looking at your time like you would compounding interest using that coffee example? And which level are you in your business, and what plateau are you hitting right now? What ceiling are you knocking on that you can't crack through? Go back and listen to that phase where I walked through all those different ceilings and in this podcast, and figure out which one you're at right now and what decision you need to make, and then which processes need to go in place to unlock them. And then carve out blocks of time in your schedule right now today to create process and create a process playbook that your team members can go see and use and experience. Put it in Google Drive. It doesn't have to be expensive. Put it in Google Drive. Do something, okay, and make it simple. The first process you should create is how processes should look. That's the very first one. So everyone knows when they're going to create processes, this is exactly how they should look. Okay, the next process you should create is how you make decisions. Okay, are there core decisions in your business that have to keep on coming back to you for some reason that you're having to make that maybe you shouldn't have to make anymore? Write a process on your decision-making matrix. Okay? And that's what I've done, and our team members can go to that now. So anytime they have a decision that needs to be made, I have them go there first and go, okay, run it through this matrix. Run it through these things and then give me your recommendation. And so then they'll run it through that matrix and give me their recommendation. Okay, and then after that, you just knock those processes down one by one. What's going to unleash your team members? What's going to unleash you to do your best work? Right now, the spot where I'm spending the least time in, where I need to be spending the most time in, honestly, is working strategy at a high level for our customers. What's the strategy that I can really like help you guys unleash? This next phase in business when it's crazy competitive. The next part that I'm not spending as much time as I need to be in right now is product development and testing. Like, I need to really roll up my sleeves and work with our team to really build out Agent Carrot in a bigger way. To really build out more innovative things for you guys. We're building a marketing suite that we'll be announcing in early 2019 that's going to be sweet and just help you guys crush it. Okay, we need to be working on that more. Another thing I need to be working on more is I need to be speaking more. I need to be out there speaking and being the face of this company even more. I've kind of got locked into a mode where I've been Mr. Podcast, and that's about the only spot you're going to see my content the last 3 or 4 or 5 months. I haven't been doing whiteboard videos. I haven't been doing that many webinars, things like that. So I'm going to be ramping that up. And then the last thing is, how do I make sure I'm recruiting and retaining and guiding our team members? You know, that's where I'm really needing to focus on. But my mind and my mind space is just split everywhere right now because I've got so much going on and so many people coming to me for all these different things and all these meetings and coming full circle on this podcast episode. The reason I'm bringing this up is this. Tuesday when I was sick, that week when I was sick, I canceled all my meetings. And I went through those trainings. And at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, why did today feel different? Why did today feel so energizing even though I'm at home sick with a toothache? And poison oak and a fever. Like, why do I feel so energized? Why do I feel more clear today than I have in weeks or months on where we should go and what I should be doing? It's because I wasn't on a million meetings. And so then I started to go, okay, how can I do this more often? How can I be on less meetings? And how can I unleash my team so they don't need me on a meeting? They can just do their work and they can do insanely great at that work and not need me to make those decisions. And I started writing down all those things that people need me on meetings for. Why is it that they want me on this meeting? Why is it that I need to show up in this meeting? Why is it that I think that I need to be on this meeting. And maybe it's just me that thinks that I need to be on that meeting, and the team members don't even think I need to be there. So I wrote down this whole list, and that's how I'm going to be working on this flight, is jamming through those processes to unleash my team members, to get me on less meetings so I can do more content, so I can do more serving of you guys, and more serving of the team, and leading with transformational leadership, not transactional leadership. I got caught in the transactional leadership mode where people would come to me, I would say do this, or I would answer their question, they would go do that, and they would come back to me again for more guidance. Okay, and it's really easy to lead. It's really easy to lead in the transactional leadership mode. It's easy because you've got the answers, right? You've got the answers. It's crazy easy to do that. And you enjoy giving the answers because you're smart and you created the business and you're the person who should be, you know, guiding your team members, right? That's what I thought too. I was serving my team members by answering this stuff for them. But what I discovered is I was just creating a perpetual loop of transactions that they had to keep on coming back for these answers, for this guidance. And I wasn't actually helping them transform. And my coach helped me see that. So if you don't have a coach, you need to get a coach so they can help you see your blind spots. So I'm working my butt off on being a transformational leader. I struggle at it still. I catch myself answering the questions. I catch myself creating transactional moments instead of transformational moments. And I want you to start to shift to do the same thing. Okay? And the only way you can get there is by creating process, creating that program playbook. Okay, by writing down the ways and the reasons and the things that your team members are coming to you for and unleash them, y'all. The only way you're going to get past this ceiling is through your team members and through that vision and by unleashing them to do their best work. Think about that. Hit me back on Instagram. Let me know how you're going to be doing this. Let me know where you are in your business. DM me on Instagram. I listen to them all. And while you're at it, go over to iTunes, go over to Spotify, go over to wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've resonated with any of our podcasts lately, whether it's with me or with some of our customers or anybody, hit us with a review on iTunes. Hit us with a review on Spotify. Hit us with a review anywhere. It helps us get our message out there more. I don't know if a lot of people don't realize it, but reviews and ratings and downloads on podcasts are what really gets your podcast rated higher in iTunes. So when people search for real estate investing podcasts or entrepreneur podcasts, ours shows up. And I'm really passionate about our message. I'm really passionate about unleashing you as an entrepreneur to have more freedom and more flexibility, make a bigger impact, and grow your finances. I'm passionate about that. And help us get this message in front of more people. Give us a rating and review on iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, and share it with someone today that you think is in this phase of business. If they're in business for 1, 2, 3, 4 years, they might be hitting a ceiling, whether it's an income and fulfillment and passion. They need to listen to this podcast because I'm going through it and I want to help you cut that learning curve so you don't have to be in that phase as long as I have been. All right. Have an amazing rest of the week, y'all. We love you guys. Talk soon.